The Education Conference Committee will come to order, and thank everyone for being patient and also flexible. We walking down the halls in the Capitol today thinking every year about this time you have to be very, very flexible in schedules and also have the ability to adjust, and I think legislators are great for that. I mean, they don't know what they're doing from one minute to the next sometimes, so and sometimes having to be in several places at once. But what we'd like to do, there was an agenda that we kind of formed up yesterday, and I'd like to adjust that a little bit. So what I would suggest that we do would be that the Senate would hand out, and we're just going to hand out an offer of language and issues that we have been discussing, and along with that offer that we'll hand out, we'll also hand out a rather thick packet of amendments that would go with that offer, and then we'll have our staff go through those recommendations and the amendments, and then once we do that, we'll probably, I think, take a break for something, you know, a supper break, and then depending on what my co-chair would suggest as far as the time, we could come back after that and then either take up some discussion on this or try to answer some questions or whatever. So we're going to just take a few minutes now, and staff has informed me that it's a whole lot easier if they go around the inside of the table and hand out the information than if they try to work their way around the outside. So what I'd like to do, just as they're doing that, handing out the information, is to kind of reaffirm, and I think I can speak for Representative Greiling as well, reaffirm that we have a deadline. We are marching toward that deadline. We're trying to create... No, go ahead, please. Go ahead and hand out the information. We're trying to create good public policy here. Sometimes it's not always easy, but and sometimes it's not always... I mean, there's disagreements and things that that people have differing views on. But I do think that we are very committed conference on both sides, House members and Senate members, and I got assurances from my leadership on the Senate side that the business that we do here is all very important, and the decisions that we make are decisions that I think our leadership will stand behind, and hopefully we can convince our caucuses to support as well. So I guess with one eye on that deadline that we're moving toward and another one on the work that needs to be done, we're hoping that we can move forward. We also realize that we're one of the last conference committees out, the tax committee, this committee, and I believe Health and Human Services. And so our leadership on both sides are working to try to bring targets to the table, and that's going to be kind of the final piece that fits into all of this. And so we'll Representative Greiling, I'll please don't anyone injure. We We know at those soccer games and football games it can happen. Okay, I think we're ready to begin. And for those that are in the audience, if somebody has taken two copies, please share. If somebody doesn't have a copy, please raise your hand so that we can get an idea how many copies that we need to make. So,
okay.
Kevin, maybe you can make a count and.
Maybe we can do another 20.
So, okay.
We can do another 20.
It looks like about, if we can make another 20 copies. So, all right, we're gonna start, and I'll have Senate staff go through these, and then we'll also go through the amendments.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, the way that we have packaged this together is there's a document titled Senate Policy Offer Number 1, and that's the main document that we will be working off of. Across the top, we make reference to sections that are being recommended by the Senate in this offer. If it's on the left side, it's a House provision. If it's in the center, it's a Senate provision. We have the page number, and then in a few instances, we add a few notes. Mostly that correlates to amendments, but in some cases, rather than listing every single section that relates to a particular position, the first provision will be a good example of that. We just make reference to several sections. So, for example, the very first provision is the Senate provision of converting days to hours. We didn't bother to list every single section there, but it's certainly implied when we say several sections. So that's the first one. Then we have the Senate recommendation on staff development. There's several sections on that. The Senate recommends the referendum revenue position of the Senate, which is the provision that eliminates the petition authority. House position on the wind energy conversion, safe schools levy provision by the House, St. Louis County and St. Charles provisions in the House, and the QCOMP local provision for St. Cloud. Senate is recommending equalizing factors as well as the blinking off of the dollars for learning development and safe schools. I mean, the use of those dollars. We're not turning the dollars off. So those would be the Article 1 provisions.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to go through Article 2 with you. On shared services, yesterday there was some agreement about portions from House bill and then some from the Senate bill. So an amendment was drafted, the A17 amendment, which has been handed out in that package to you, which Mr. Nauman will now go.
Mr. Chair and members, I think it's the second amendment in the document that we in the packet of documents that we handed out. It's the SCS 0010A17 amendment. This is largely the same as the A16 amendment, with the exception of some clarifying language on line 16 through 18, which attempts to respond to some of the concerns of school districts and other cartel advocates relating to the documentation that would be required as part of a shared service environment. It simply specifies that the notation in the file is sufficient and that no other documentation is required.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on, the part of the Senate offer is to accept House Section Number 2 regarding conferences and who may attend them. Also to accept Senate Section Number 2, which regards the health exceptions, that is being able to be excused from a school day for mental health reasons. House Section 3 and Senate Section 4, they are compatible, so basically the changes made in both of those sections would be pulled in. House Section Number 4, regarding academic standards, would pull in the House section, which it contains the same language that the Senate has, with aligning the section with aligning requirements with graduation requirement statutes. Section 5, there's in the Senate bill, there's a number of sections that also go along with this, but it is the FIED requirement, the graduation requirement. Senate Section Number 6, which is revisions and reviews required, is brought in. That's just strikes language, strikes some obsolete language. Then Senate Section 1 from on page R11 of your side-by-side, you'll recall this is from the Senate File 3, which is mandate reduction. Requires that the report be in summary, be published in summary form as opposed to the full report. For 10 is, Senate Section 10 is the portion regarding CPR and AED devices and teaching and encouraging AED or CPR and AED instruction, I'm sorry. Senate Section 21, which is pulled in, there's also a number of other sections which go along with this that requires students to be present at all fire, lockdown, and tornado drills. Senate Section 24, the section titled Literacy on the Senate Policy Offer Sheet includes Section 24, 27 through 29, 91, and 92. Of the Senate file, you'll recall that these are the sections relating to literacy and the reading required assessment for instruction. And this will be done through amendment titled A28, which was handed out to you as part of that packet. This language came from a House amendment that was done on the companion text. So that was pulled in as part of an agreement. Then moving on to Senate Section Number 2 listed on your sheet as assessment professionals. Again, this was pulled in from the Senate file Number 3 with mandate reduction. So pulls in Senate Section 30 regarding alternative teacher licensure, and Senate Section Number 34 pertaining to cancellation timing. This prevents the commissioner from canceling two comps midway through the school year. I'm sorry. Then moving on, we pull in, there was some discussion about the investigation background checks on teachers. Senator Saltzman had spoken on this in the past days of conference committee. What we did was there was a agreement that was reached between stakeholders, and that was brought in through the amendment titled B-27, which is also in your packet. Then, moving on, pulled in is House Section Number 33 regarding the district-created site-governed schools. Then, the next section was pulled in is the OLL language, which will be amended by Amendment A-22, which can be found in your packet.
Mr. Chair and members, A-22 is the online learning language that was handed out to the committee yesterday.
And then the charter school language, which will be pulled in, you see here is also the language that will be brought in, through amendments number A-26, and Dr. McQuay will go through that with you all.
Ms. McQuay.
Mr. Chair and members, the A-26 amendment deals with the charter school language, and I'll just try and group it together in some sections here. The first chunk of the language on R-73 has to do with increasing the number of single-purpose sponsors that the commissioner approves, and that number goes from 2 to 3. The amendment includes the word non-sectarian, so the single-purpose sponsors must be non-sectarian. And then there's also some language inserted that requires that the sponsors not limit the applications that solicit, considers, or approves to any single curriculum, learning program, or method. Also, there was language in the Senate bill that required the commissioner to approve at least one, but no more than two, and the language was changed to allow the commissioner to approve no more than three. So if a suitable single-purpose sponsor isn't found, the commissioner isn't required to approve one. On line 1.12, page 81 of the Senate language, the 3 to 6 references the amount of months that a board member must begin training by. And on 1.14, page 81, this paragraph F deletes what was paragraph F there and reinserts language on the ongoing board. And the biggest change here is that it on 1.21 to 1.22 says that the board may be a majority board composed of teachers defined in this paragraph. So it is allowable that there be a majority of teachers. And then on line 32, page 83, the reference from 36 to 24 references the moratorium on charter schools. There was a 3-year moratorium for two instances, and this was changed to 2 years. Line 34 of the amendment inserts, this has to do with the reduction of aid for violation, and the department referenced a section that was missing there, and so this adds that section. What was included was 127A42, and this now includes 127A42 and 43. And then beginning on page 2, there was language in the Senate bill regarding an affiliated nonprofit building corporation. Deletes that section and reinserts the following language, and I'll just go through it very briefly. Paragraph A allows a charter school to organize a nonprofit upon approval of an affidavit that includes 5 pieces. Paragraph B makes certain requirements of the affiliated nonprofit building corporation. Paragraph C prohibits the affiliated nonprofit building corporation from serving as the leasing agent and says that a charter school that leases a facility from an affiliated nonprofit building corporation that does not own the facility is ineligible to receive lease aid. And then there's a statement in there that says that the state is immune from liability resulting from one of these contracts. And then paragraph D allows the affiliated nonprofit building corporation to construct a new facility and then requires certain documentation there. And the allowable number of years that a charter school must be around and have a positive net fund balance to organize the affiliated nonprofit building corporation is 5 years, and then in order to construct, they must be around for 8 years. And then this affiliated nonprofit building corporation applies to purchases, renovations, and expansions and constructions after July
1, 2009. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on through Article 2, the Senate offer seeks to adopt House File, or the House Section 61, which is the P20 partnership, and pulls in Senate Section 90, which allows local inspections for the St. Paul Fire Department. The 66 is the House File, or House Section 66 is the active pay differential for reservists. And Section 93 of the Senate File we seek to pull in, which is the 2-year suspension of the staff development reserve. And this was chose opposed to the House language on staff development because with the 2-year suspension, you can still include the boiler technician's language. And just as a note, 827, which regards the background investigations for teachers, the language that's in the 827 amendment that you have was language that was passed off of the floor by the Senate. It wasn't an amendment by the House, as I think I said before. Moving on to Article 3, the first section that is dealt with are some of the federal conformity provisions, which are pulled in from the on the 825 amendment. The 825 amendment, the language on there came from the language that Mr. Deans and MSBA and NAMI had suggested for federal conformity purposes.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing in Article 3, the reimbursement section corrects the cross-reference, and this is identical in both bills. Section 4 of the Senate is a notice provision regarding federal conformity with regards to the LEP program, and that was the Senate language. House Section 10 regards the restrictive deprivation procedures, and the Senate accepted that. Section 17 is the the definition of assisted technology device, and both the Senate and the House were looking for federal conformity there, and the House language was a little bit better, although there's one amendment there, the A30, and there's language there that strikes software, and this would conform to the federal definition. And then finally in Article 3, the language regarding implementation, and this is the Medicaid billing that's done by the Department of Health and Human Services, and you should have an amendment in your packet. It's the A16 amendment, and this language strikes the what the Senate has as 370 and inserts 600,000, and this still doesn't reach the 5% cap that's also in statute. And then the second line there is a technical cross-reference that the HHS carried in their bill that on a staff level, we thought that it would make sense to carry the one provision in one place so that there's no temptation in these other conference committees to change anything. And then Article 4 is the Senate language on debt service appropriation. This is just changing the appropriation numbers in the statute. Section 5 has to deal with the consultation, increasing the threshold by which the school district needs to consult with the commissioner. Section 6 is the review and comment, and this increases it for certain districts that don't have capital loans. The publication section is the requires just a summary of the review and comment and not the full review and comment to be published in the newspaper. And Section 6 is technology guidelines that was Senator Bonas, regarding technology guidelines for the state.
Mr. Chair, just rounding this out, Article 5 has two provisions that dealt with that had cross-jurisdictional issues with respect to the tax committee. this conference committee discussed both of these provisions. The recommendation is to accept the library maintenance of effort language with a technical date change in the A24 amendment. Just eliminates the date. I think that the conversation was that the truth and taxation items would be dealt with in the tax committee. I think we probably should have removed that here, but it didn't indicate a Senate opposition to that point. I suppose we could be redundant and carry it in both places. Finally, Article 6 is, there is an A31 amendment very similar to the early ed amendment that was handed out yesterday, with a few adjustments to reflect a couple additional items that the House flagged in conversation, and with your permission, I will just highlight those because I think we dealt with those before, or dealt with most of this amendment earlier today. There were some written adjustments that we did in committee. Those have been incorporated into the A31 amendment. What the committee has not seen is on line 1.5, the insertion of voluntary after standards based. And we're working off the Senate language here. Mr. Chair, I'm on the A31 amendment. SCH 0002 A31. You're on the wrong side. Yeah, there are two sheets for the person. Yeah, apologies. So if you look at line 1.5, we added voluntary in one of the locations where the House had that language. And then the House recommended to senators on lines 1.9 and 1.10 to clarify, I believe this was a recommendation that was incorporated in 2088, a little bit later in the session than the completion of the Senate bill, to change will receive public funding to may receive public funding. I think the House bill carried public support, but the Senate felt public funding made a little bit clearer language. So those are the items that are different relative to what was seen before. This amendment does continue to carry the 12-hour change, as well as the levy that we discussed yesterday. And the language that we're showing in the offer is that policy provisions as negotiated and amended by A31, there is no suggestion that the House is completely in concurrence with everything that's in the A31 amendment, but I think that the Senate is recommending that those things that have been agreed to could be moved. I also understand that Assistant Commissioner Klinzing had some recommendations on the 12-hour requirement, and the Senate is clearly stating that it continues to be open to that conversation. And the Senate is also offering in Article 8 the Senate's forecast language and the technical corrections from the House in Article 11. The Senate wants to take a little bit more time to look at the people transportation provisions, not suggesting that that we're in the House bill, not suggesting that the Senate's not open to them, but we just need a little more time to look at them.
Okay. What we're hoping that we can kind of invite the House to kind of help us define the universe of what we're working with, and try to bring some parameters around all the issues. So, any questions that members have, and I would like to. Say that, you know, we could take a break. Excuse me. Take a break and offer some, you know, for some lunch and also probably some discussion after, and maybe, I don't know, what would you suggest for time?
Senator Stump, I would say a couple of options. One, if you're wanting us to come back and have something, I'm thinking that we might be better prepared to do that because there's a comprehensive list here and it looks like a serious offer, and I appreciate that given that the time is short, that we don't have some goofy offers to start out with like some we've seen in past years, and so this is very appreciated. And the spade work that you have done, I'm sure that it'll take us a long time to go through them because I don't know how long it took you, but we're slow. And so I hate to have us go off, you know, and have a time certain, and then we come back and we're not done. I would, you know, I worry about us being rude. I think it would be better if we took the whole evening and then came back tomorrow when we meet and come back with, you know, serious responses. But if you, you know, you're the, you have the gavel, so you can set a time certain. But I'm thinking if we are eating and then going through all these things, and it's, unless it's like 4 hours, I don't know that we would be actually done. And I think that we would have to look at the whole package before we could actually, you know, make a comprehensive response.
Representative Gatling, I think tomorrow we had talked about, you know, one issue.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tomorrow would be, you know, we could add, you know, add this to that. Mm-hmm. And keep the momentum kind of going.
Mr. Chair, I would be very interested in that. And you know, I was hoping we had the longer night tonight. Well, you were the chair, and I could sit here and vegetate. But but on the other hand, I just know how long it takes. It seems to take us less time with finance issues than with policy issues. It takes a longer time, and these are policy issues. And you know, we. Really, I think, need to go over them carefully. But we do only have one thing on the agenda, and it is for everybody to know it's the OPEB issue that the House has language and the Senate wants to be more educated on what our language means, and so that we can see if it's acceptable or needs adapting or not. So that's just that's all we have thought of. I asked our members to suggest other things if they had them, and I haven't received any suggestions. So we would have time, actually, to go through this with tomorrow, do the OPEB first or last, and then follow up with, you know, giving you something, which you would need some time, but maybe it wouldn't be so much time since you've already done the spade work.
I think along with that, I think we're also expecting staff, at least I'm expecting staff to do some work on runs, and so I think there's some additional work that that would offer that, that they would have time to do that. So if any other advice or suggestion, Representative Mariani?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for so that I'm clear about how we're going to proceed here, and I'm not terribly experienced in omnibus finance conference committees, but as I glance through this quickly, I note that there are several provisions that are missing from both sides of the list here, where in fact we have language on both sides. On both the Senate and the House, and I'm just wondering if perhaps the Senate can tell us what their intent is in regards to provisions that are not here, but nonetheless have language on both sides, whether this is a signal that the Senate is simply not interested at all in those provisions, or whether the Senate would prefer to, at some future date, visit those provisions we have language on both sides, or whether the Senate simply expects the House to carry on behalf of the House's offer language that is found in the Senate side that although not same or similar, it certainly matches up with the House. It just would help me as I consider the proposal before us.
Representative Mariani, I think you're right.
Mr. Chair?
Federal.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mariani, can you, if some have come to mind, could you just mention the topic? Because there may be.
I think it's all of those, isn't it?
All of what?
I mean, there's.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I think. They probably will mention the ones that they're interested in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mariani, one of them that's missing here is some of the homeschool mandates, but that was left because it has financial implications, and that's why it was not brought in at this point.
Well, Mr. Chair, that's helpful. That provides some kind of
that's why if you brought the topics out that were concerned, maybe there's an explanation. Because there is that's a plus. It's not a cut. It's a plus of money in our proposal, but it doesn't mean we've abandoned it.
So, Mr. Chair, then the direction here would be that if it's not here, even though the language is on both sides, it's because there's money attached to it somehow.
Very likely.
Senator Weir?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I was going to make that point to Representative Mariani. For example, on the grad testing, there's a number of policy parts, but it's also reflected on the spreadsheet. And to that extent, we focused on policy here, but clearly there will be positions evolving there.
Well, I would, I know everybody here that's been prepared for a long evening, but you'd probably be all disappointed, but I think there's quite a bit of work to do, too, so if it's okay, I would like to offer this in good faith and try to keep, like I say, keep us moving forward and try to get to the end of session with a completed bill.
Good.
And you, as far as tomorrow goes?
Mr. Chair and members, tomorrow we're planning to meet 1.5 hours after the last body that adjourns. It looks like the Senate and the House are keeping up with the pattern of starting in the morning or noon and then finishing up in mid-afternoon. So whichever body adjourns second, we'll meet 1.5 hours after that.
Okay. The conference is adjourned.